Our guest today is the Secretary Designate of the newly formed Department of Innovation and Technology. He is also the State of Illinois' Chief Information Officer. Our guest today leads 1,700 IT employees and over $1 billion of technology budget. He earned his MBA from Kellogg and his undergraduate degree in computer science from MS University, Baroda, India. And as Ed noted, he's so smart, he brought his beautiful family and his wife with him today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give them a round of applause and welcome Hardik Bhatt. Hardik, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, Jay and Ed. It's always been a pleasure to come to the City Club, although it is my first time I've spoken. This is my fifth time speaking at the City Club. First time without having Paul Green at the head table and speaking that. So our thoughts go for Paul and his family. It was always a great, big deal to have Paul being here. But 19 months in the job, and I still feel like every day I wake up, it's my first day in the job, that kind of excitement. Every day when I go home, I like feel like I've climbed Mount Everest, and I feel that satisfaction. I'm extremely happy that with the achievement that we could do at the end of that day and at the end of the month, end of the year, end of 19 months. And that could not really have been possible without having someone like Bruce Rauner heading the state as the governor, understanding the value and power of technology, and bringing people from outside to start changing the culture, changing how technology gets done at the state. It's really a great privilege to provide technology that improves customer service and improves government efficiency for 13 million Illinoisans. I mean, when I step back and think about what we can do or what we do and what we can accomplish for the 13 million people, it's really humbling to really think not many people get this kind of an opportunity. I mean, if you think about that. So really, it's an honor and privilege to be in this position. I take every day not granted. It's really an honor to be there. So what I wanted to do today was, I know I've come here last year and I told you the horror stories of how technology was getting done at the state, and I gave you a plan that this is how we are going to do what we were planning to do. And I wanted to give you an update of what we have done in the last 18 months, or last I spoke here, September, so 14 months. But also, we've been able to extract some lessons learned that could be applied to any digital transformation of any organization at the scale that the state of Illinois is. So it is something that I wanted to make sure that it is time well spent for you, if you think it is, and you can take it back to other customers of yours or organizations that you are leading digital transformation for. So just to reset where we were when we started last year, state of Illinois was in the bottom fourth of the 50 states. We had C-plus ranking given by the Digital States Survey. We were the third highest spender in the 50 states, so tremendous disparity between how the dollar gets spent and what the outcome do we get out of that. We had thousands of applications, thousands of systems, multiple silos. We had cybersecurity worries that were not allowing me to sleep at night. And all of those things we started, and then from there, we started our movement. As I told you also last time, our oldest system dated back to 1974. So we had, and then the first term of the administration, the first term of this administration ends in 2019. So we had a huge gap to cover, 45 years of gap to cover, and we had to cover that literally in 4 years, because again, technology was moving extremely fast, and if we take 45 years to cover 45 years, there's no way, there's no point in doing that. So literally it meant you want to travel 450 miles in 4 hours. How fast do you have to go? Math? About 110 miles, 111, 112 miles an hour you have to go in order to cover 450 miles. If you have to stop for gas, if you have to stop for food, if you have to stop for anything, crying baby in the backseat, you have to add those times because, you know, state of Illinois, crying babies. We have to add those I'm talking about the bottlenecks that we have. So we have to add that time to that. So we have to literally travel at a pace that not just the state of Illinois, not a government, but in general, a private sector organization of this scale has not seen before. So what we braced ourselves for is something like this, which was whitewater rafting all the way, no smooth sailing. Starting day one to end of year four, whitewater rafting for everyone in the technology team, everyone working with us, everyone in the vendor community. We were not going to stop to breathe. We were going to only make sure that we make necessary stops for filling our tanks and, again, starting again. So it was why it has been for the last 19 months, and you ask my team who's here, they know it's whitewater rafting for the last 19 months, and it's not going to stop. We're going to continue at that pace. I closed my presentation at the City Club last year on this Steve Jobs statement because we truly believe in this, that we are here to make a dent. Otherwise, why would we be even here? We believe in this statement. My team believes in this statement. And I want to report a progress. I want to start this presentation on an extremely positive note. In the last 18 months, we have been able to make a big dent in the status quo in technology at the state, and that also has been validated externally. Remember I told you, we were bottom fourth in 50 states as it came to technology outcomes. The latest survey came out in September 2016, and state of Illinois now is top third of the 50 states. We have moved. Thank you. We have moved from bottom fourth to top third, but we still have a long way to go. But we have lots of things, especially in the last 19, 20 months since we started this journey, we have added leaders one after the other. We have extracted leaders from the existing organizations across the state of Illinois, and it is that team that has come together to make this journey from bottom fourth to top third in the last 18 months. So at this point of time, I'd like to request the Do It team to stand up and be acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. And I also want to make sure that, you know, I've been putting so many hours in the last 18 months, even after I left my nice job at Cisco and coming back at home and trying to come home every night. But someone who lets me do that, put more hours and spend more time at work and be passionate about what I'm doing, my wife, Jagruthi, thank you very much for making that happen. And obviously, my parents and their blessing, my aunts here too, so thank you very much for your continued blessings. So as I said, what I wanted to share with you today was six key lessons or steps that, in our opinion, we've been able to extract in the last 18 months that we think that this is how we did this journey in the last 18 months. As I walk you through these six steps, I'll also tell you some of the key action steps that we take, some of the key projects, accomplishments that we had, some of the key challenges we faced. And then I'll also talk about some of the leadership characteristics that we could derive from this leadership team that we have assembled and from the governor and governor's office leadership, as well as the agency leaders like Chris Meister sitting here that have kind of supported us, helped us, and then give you a key takeaway from there. So first one is, and by the way, I did not build this presentation in November with that last picture. I built it in August. That's how faithful I was. That this is the year. I should have done it in April, yes. Actually, I could have done this in last October because the signs were there. Anyhow, so the first one is, as we think about 21st century digital transformation for any organization of this scale, you have to, first of all, have a clear focus on transformation. So as the governor came into our first CIO council meeting, his clear marching orders were, I want to give a 21st century enterprise to the citizens, to the taxpayers of Illinois, and they have been deserving that. They have not been getting it. So IT, technology, your job is to enable that 21st century enterprise, plain and simple. So what we did was we went on a big listening tour. We came back and we charted out our journey. 45 in 4 is that key tagline that everybody understands in the team, that we have to make 45 years of progress in the next 4 years. We charted that out with three-step journey. Step one was improving the business of IT. Step two, improving the business of state using IT, that is improving our customer service. And step three is find an area where we can leapfrog. We don't always have to be a follower. We don't always have to be 45th or 47th or 49th in good ranking. Why don't we find a space where we are comfortable and we could be number one for a change in the country? We used to be that. If you remember, Railroad Rivers, and you'll hear Jim Schulz, I'm putting a plug in for you, when Jim comes here for Intersect Illinois and talk about what we've been, Illinois has been, and what he is trying to bring it to with the partnership with Governor. But we were in that leadership position. So can we find an area where we can become a shining beacon, a lighthouse for other states to learn from us? And we thought that smarter state would be an area. So I'll talk about on this slide step one and step three. Step one, improving the business of IT. And again, I told you last time, we had tremendous number of silos in our state of Illinois organization. There was a state CIO, individual contributor in the governor's office with no direct reports. There was a deputy director in Bureau of Computer and Communication Services within an administrative services agency. And then there are 38 different CIOs reporting straight up in the chain to their directors working, focusing on their agencies. So literally 38 silos, every dollar that was spent on technology was divided in 38 before it saw the light of the day. So that ended in 420 different ERP systems, 50 licensing systems, 38 asset management. I can go on and on and on because we never thought enterprise. And we actually spent 6 months starting June of last year reaching out to all of the agency directors, CIOs, CFOs, chiefs of staff, and telling them showing them the business case that if we can bring IT resources together, we have close to $1 billion of resources. We have 1,700 people that we spend $1 million a day on, just on people, on their salaries and overhead. If we can bring those resources together and focus on prioritized efforts, we can start changing the trajectory of state of Illinois. And with that business case, we got everyone, almost every agency directors agreed that that's the right way to do, and they said, let's do it. So January 25th, the governor, through an executive order, created the Department of Innovation and Technology and brought those 1,700 people together, brought that $1 billion spent in a coordinated way, and that first time in the history of the state, we had a methodical way of doing technology, and we added innovation charter to that. So we had a Department of Innovation and Technology. So that's one of the big things that we had. Thank you. The second thing is cybersecurity. I mean, if you were in my position in June of last year, I could not sleep. I mean, 2 nights ago, there was another thing that happened. But I just could not sleep in June of last year. And the reason was we did an assessment of all of our systems. And, you know, we were sitting on a very precarious position. We were sitting on a ticking time bomb of unprotected information and protected data. So what I had to do is I literally had to start right away saying that we need to start protecting information, we need to focus on cybersecurity. But then I had to find somebody who can come in and have sleepless nights so I can sleep. So we brought Kirk Lonbaum, our CISO, on board. Thank you, Kirk. So again, for the first time in the history of the state, we have an enterprise-wide chief information security officer and a team that we built under him, and we have a cybersecurity strategy. Go on doit.illinois.gov, and Kirk's our strategy, our comprehensive enterprise cybersecurity strategy, is on the doit.illinois.gov, and you'll know how far we have come from where we were in June. We have an executive steering committee made up of the governor's public safety director, IEMA director, ISP director, National Guards, and they are the ones who are driving our cybersecurity strategy. It's not driven by IT. It's not driven by a bunch of mainframe people that really have to make sure that they are doing their jobs right, but it is driven by the business. So cybersecurity was another thing that I would put in the improving business of IT. And the third thing, there are so many things I can tell you. I'll just focus on a few. The third thing is getting procurement done. I mean, you all know this, right? It takes, and I said this in one of the events in April, that on an average, it takes about 18 months to finish a big procurement at the state of Illinois. That equates to getting two babies, one after the other. That's a long time. How can you wait for that long? So we basically said we need to cut that in half, at least, you know, to 9 months. And we almost had it. One of the ways to do that was, so first procurement took longer. So I'm talking about the IT resource provider, ITRP or multi-step. So at the city of Chicago, if you remember, we had, and we still have that, what we call the pre-qualified consultants pool, so that we can actually quickly, we can pre-qualify a bunch of consultants, various categories, and then we can select from those categories based on the scope of work that comes out from various agencies. That could have easily been there in the state of Illinois, but state of Illinois procurement code does not allow request for qualification, so we had to do something different where we can pre-qualify the consultants, and then we can do what they call the invitation for bid, IFB. And we published that in July of last year. By April, we had awarded to 77 vendors to do work with us. That included 33 or 34 MBE, WBE, DBE vendors that could do business with the state. We just lost focus a bit for the last few months, but this week we signed 60 of those 77 contracts. So we'll be able to do business easily with you. And we have a process that is now going to be published to the vendors, the vendor community, as well as to the agencies as to how can they leverage these contracts. So it's basically bringing this 18-month-long process down to get some consulting work done down to literally within a few weeks. We'll be able to publish an IFB and choose the vendor from that pool, and they can start working with us. So that's basically improving the business of IT. We had a key focus on consolidation. I call it M&A, basically, acquiring 38 different entities and merging them and running it like a business. We had cybersecurity focus, which is not just state of Illinois. It's a global focus that we have. And then making sure that we are doing business with you in a good way. So what we had to do in this is we needed an action-oriented team, a visionary team that gets everything and starts running with the ball. We needed to be innovation hungry. We needed to be peered and partnered with the business. So our IT department, innovation and technology department, is not run by Hardik. It's not run by IT. I am the CEO of a billion-dollar startup that reports to a board of directors made up of agency directors, governor's office, and the budget office. So it is not an IT shop. It's an IT business reporting to the board of directors accountable to the taxpayers. So that's basically how we look at step one. Step two, I'll come back to in a moment. Step three is we had to find a place where we can literally leapfrog and take leadership position. So with my experience in smart cities, working with Cisco as well as the city of Chicago, I found that, you know, there are three specific roles that a state government can play. One, in a smarter state, we can be a customer. We have public safety, corrections, criminal justice, public health, transportation. All of those smart city solutions are easily applicable to a smart state to make the government efficient. So we started looking at us as basically a customer for smart city solutions. The second role is state as an enabler. I mean, we have tremendous rulemaking, policymaking authority, and we can actually use it positively to improve economy around IoT, smart cities, in cybersecurity, in analytics, in mobility. All of those fields, we can start focusing on much laser-focused on entrepreneurship, innovation, incubation, and that's where we partner with our Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. And then we can also focus on building talent and workforce because, again, if you know the way the technology is moving, the way the technology curve is moving up, creating productivity and creating jobs, we really don't have those curriculum and those kind of talent that is available to fill those jobs today, tomorrow, and 5-10 years from now. So we can start focusing on state becoming an enabler and Illinois becoming a hub for IoT and the 21st century technology. We can do that. And the third role is state as a demand aggregator. And I'm so glad the mayor of Rockford, Larry Morrissey, is here today. Rockford is a great partner. Think about You know, Chicago is a prime location for a big city for smart city solution providers, you know, 400,000 light poles. But when you go outside of Chicago, you don't have that big of a town. You don't have those large cities, large population density that becomes a target for a solution provider to get the right ARPU for them. So we partner with cities like Rockford. We are looking at putting our fiber, state owns 2,000 or leases 2,000 miles of fiber, that can become an equalizer for putting these solutions on board. We also have joint procurement authority. So we have contracts with Microsoft, AT&T, Verizon, that every government body in the state of Illinois can leverage and buy off of. We are looking at now creating and having those joint procurement contracts for smart city solutions. So Rockford, Sandwich, Peoria, all of these cities can buy off of those contracts and implement smart city solutions. So the idea here is we don't want pockets of smartness in Illinois. We want the entire state to be a smart state. And we've already been recognized as the number one state to be even thinking about this and having a vision and a plan. We had an event in April. We have a workshop coming in December. We have an IoT Center of Excellence built in the government, inside state government, 11 different agency CIOs, or CISOs part of that, Kevin O'Toole, who's a program manager for that, and we are working together as a team on that for making Illinois a smart state. We also have advisors from outside that are helping us how to move this. So the thing is, we have found an area, and now we are trying to become the number one state in that area that we can become. So the takeaway from here is to keep focus on transformation, you need to first build a good story as to where you want to go. And then as a leader, you need to be a good storyteller. You need to really take that story and make sure that you're connecting all the dots to that story so you have a clear communication that you can do. Number two is building a winning team. And you just saw the entire team that stood up here. One of the ways that we went about, the governor is extremely clear about transparency and making sure that everybody knows what we are doing. There's nothing to hide. So those of you that are following us on LinkedIn, on Twitter, you know we've been out and about. We are telling you exactly what's going on, what we did, what's coming. And that also, what that does is when I talk about IoT, people are like, oh, wow, government, Illinois, talking IoT? Amazing. When I talk about, I'll soon talk about blockchain. And then blockchain? So suddenly now we are creating curiosity in the market saying that state of Illinois is doing something different. This doesn't seem like my dad's government. This seems like a much better, younger, different government. And we've been able to attract CEOs, presidents, and all-in-all private sector career people inside. And also, we have done the same kind of communication inside, and we've been able to find people who wanted to step up, who wanted to provide innovation at the edges and bring them in and start building that team. And that's the team that has been basically carrying this ball for the last 18 months. So we have been able to map talent to vision. We have been able to mix internal, external people. And what we learned from there is we've been able to identify and develop leaders. We have delegated versus abdicating stuff to people. And then we have been able to up everybody's game. So what is here is the power of one is only a partial truth. There is something called power of one. You can have one leader who can come in and change the trajectory, but you need a team that carries the ball forward to success, to the goal line. Number three is we focused on building a borderless culture. I told you about all the silos that we had. And in month of June of last year, we started building working groups. So we had 11 different working groups in which we put, I had a great resource called CIOs. We had 60 plus CIOs in all of the different agencies. We brought them together, put them in various working groups, innovation, mobility, cybersecurity. So apart from running your agency technology, you can also build enterprise technology strategy. And the way we built that enterprise technology strategy, and Mike and Marion Cook played a key role in there, is we actually, if you go on doit.illinois.org website, you will not find a 600-page document that says this is Illinois strategy. What you will find is for each horizontal and vertical, a one-page strategy, which will tell you where we are, where we want to be, how are we going to go there, what are the low-hanging fruits, and then what are the bottlenecks that we might, what are the issues that we may face. And then associated with that, you'll see a video. You'll see a video of the leader that's driving that strategy, execution of that strategy. Gone are the days when people are going to print 600-page documents and read other than RFPs. People are consuming content on video, and that's what we are giving them content in. And that's basically how we could build that working groups. Three of those working groups became centers of excellence: mobility, IoT, and analytics. We also, apart from building those, breaking those silos internally, we also build the advisory board so we can break those borders between the private and the public sector. Now, we have to be very careful with our procurement guidelines and SB 51 and everything else that we don't inadvertently get you excluded from an RFP. So we've been very careful. But again, the idea here is we need to build a borderless culture, and we have been successfully able to build that borderless culture. I told you, June, we started building working groups. In March, we had our CIO council meeting. 100 people in the room, I asked them, how many of you are not in one or the other working groups? No fingers lifted. Like, literally everybody in the room was part of a working group. We all work together. It's no longer I work for DHS, I work for HFS, I work for ISP. We all work for the state of Illinois. We all work for the state of Illinois taxpayers, and that's what we are trying to do. And what we have done is literally a continuous leadership development, continuous learning that we have done. And what this has we've been able to establish here is culture change. We did not take it on as a project. Culture change automatically happened. We just literally gave people what they wanted. We gave them a way to bring that innovation to the fore, and then automatically culture started changing. If you come to Illinois State Government in technology today, you will not believe that what it was 2 years ago. It's totally, totally different. The fourth one is we never forgot that customer has to be at the center. Customer has to be at the core. And what does the customer want? We sometimes don't know. When the customer comes into HFS, they give some data. They give to DHS, they give some data to them. We had to start thinking about the end-to-end experience for a customer from beginning to the end, every channel that they go through. They call us, they walk into the office, they get mobile, they get on the website. We have to give them seamless experience. And for that, we had to know a lot more about customer. How do we know a lot more about customer? We have so much data. We have petabytes of customer data. And how did we go about that? So obviously, I told, and I've said this many times, that we have no shame in stealing ideas. We have no shame in copying, configuring, and applying and implementing those ideas here. So at very early on, we went to Indiana. We learned from Indiana. And they asked us, we asked them, like, if you had to do something different, because they are regarded as leaders in analytics in government, in state government, what would you do differently? And they said that we would do a master data agreement, because somehow for governments inside the silos, we don't like to give our data to our partners in the next agency and the next agency. So what we did, we took that idea and we took a very, very bold but very scary step. We brought 13 different agencies together and we had 16 lawyers. And we asked them, why don't you go in, bring a master data sharing agreement, have everyone sign that, and come out. I mean, having 16 lawyers in one room, it's a very, very difficult thought. And our general counsel, Mike Basil's here, and he was part of that group. But lo and behold, they actually went in. They built a master data sharing agreement. And what took Indiana 18 months to start sharing data, we finished that in 7 months. We learned from them, we applied, and now we can easily share data between 13 different agencies, and we are adding more agencies to that. With that data, now we are building 360-degree views of our customer, child, senior, families, offender. We can look at the entire history of the customer. We are building those things. On the other hand, we are building predictive analytics, so we can start helping business start making decisions using the data. So here, basically, customer is still the king, and customer data is also a major, major player in what we have been able to do. The fifth key step that we did was jumpstart and quick win. I mean, this is the best time to be a CIO, I'm telling you, because you can literally deliver wins every month, and that's what you need to do to maintain your credibility. The first thing we did, I told you about 420 ERP system. So we took the previous administration's procurement, which was done very well. We finished that procurement negotiations. We got the contracts. We kicked off ERP on SAP in July of last year. And October of this year, we rolled out state's first ERP system. We have now, state of Illinois has an ERP system. Some agencies are already on ERP financials. We are going to roll out more agencies. on board, and then we're also going to start HR, and pretty much in the next 38 to 40 months, the entire state. And this is the beauty of this. It's not just about the executive branch. The comptroller's office is in this. The treasurer's office is in this. So if you want to really make a change, it really doesn't matter what party you belong to. Technology can bring that change and bring that easily. The other thing that we have done is, you know, my parents are here, and then my mom, 72, she is much more familiar, much more easier to work with on an iPhone. But we cannot give them applications on iPhone because we state did not have a mobile infrastructure. We did not have focus on mobility, but we brought that back. We have Ramnath Kadambi here from ISAC. Him and Mike Wands, they work together. Now we have a mobile framework infrastructure ready. Since July, we've been rolling out an app a month. I mean, it's that easy. And it's also very working together as an enterprise. After this, go on your iOS, your App Store, or your Android Google Play, and look up Illinois first. Because what happens is when everybody, like 38 agencies, start building mobile apps and mobile responsive things, it's very hard to find that service on your mobile. You know there are thousands of apps on your mobile. But if you download Illinois first, we have brought all of those mobile action together into that one container. So you'll be able to now find various things that you have to do. Again, remember this. We are always about roughly right. It may not be perfect. So give us your feedback, and we'll gladly take that and proudly update Illinois First and put the next version out, and we'll be able to. So the idea is to bring the government to your fingertips, and that's the innovation. That's jump-starting and get delivering quick win that requires decisiveness and bias for action. And last but not the least, the most important thing is the transformation can never be about one person. It's not about Ricketts or Epstein or Madden or Rizzo, or it's not about an individual. It's about the team. It's about everybody. It's not just about Bruce Brown or Hardik Bhatt. It's not about one individual. It's about the entire state of Illinois team, and it's about the entire state of Illinois citizens and taxpayers and everyone that get services from the state of Illinois. So we've always been able to think about that. And the three things that we always remembered is take the blame, share the fame, and this is important in Illinois, avoid the shame. We have to always make sure that we are not cutting corners. Even though we are going so fast at the speed that we are going, we've always been very cognizant of the fact that we have procurement rules. We have to make sure that we are not creating problems for anybody as we are moving at this pace. And we have been able to really do that by staying humble, ethical, showcasing others, showcasing successes of all of the... What we are doing in technology is not for the technology's sake. It's not for the Department of Innovation and Technology. It's for our customers, which are the agencies, and for the customers outside in the state of Illinois that are using the services from us. So here's the key thing is we have to make sure that the followership is also as important as leadership. Each leader has to follow others also with great ideas. So with these kind of key things, we've been able to bring Illinois from the bottom fourth to the top third in 50 states. We've got ERP, we have a centralized IT department, we have governance, we have EPMO, we have cybersecurity, we have mobility, analytics, we are focusing on blockchain, we have borderless culture. We literally have everything that a billion-dollar technology organization has that enables a $60 billion organization like State of Illinois that can serve 13 million Illinoisans because we are running technology inside the state government as a business, and we mean business. We want to make sure that we are providing the services that the state of Illinois deserves, and we are turning the state around, helping the governor to turn the state around to give them the 21st century organization that Illinois taxpayers deserve. So I really want to appreciate and thank you for the time that you have given. I also want to thank you, all the vendors that are sitting in the room, for sticking with us. For the last, you knew 364 out of 365 days, we did not have a budget, but you all continue to work with us. When people ask me, how do you get these things done without a budget? I show them this room. This is the people, these are the people that really stuck with us and made sure that we are continuing at the pace. And those 1,700 employees and this leadership team, all of us, we have come together. One mission, we have to turn around the state, and technology becomes the enabler for that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Hardik. Anybody has any questions? Pre-submitted questions. This is not like, you know, the CNN debate or anything. Okay. Hardik, thank you very much. Have you had a drink? You know, my question would be, what do you do to relax?
I'm good.
Absolutely. You know, the average human being speaks at a rate of about 150 to 175 words a minute. We may have a new record world holder here.
There you go.
Okay, the very first question from City Club member Leighton Olson. It's about internet public trust concerning the smart state and local initiatives. What are some examples of the demand-side aggregators, such as hospitals, libraries, and schools?
That's a great question, Leighton. Your questions are always great. And I know you, where is Leighton? Oh, there he is. And I know you've been in touch with Lori, and you've also been in touch with Andrea, and we are trying to make sure. One of the things that we are trying is, if you remember, Governor Quinn had a broadband deployment council, and it was basically from the broadband stimulus money that came to the state. We had to make sure that we are doing those projects in the right way. We are trying to turn that into Smart Estate Enablement Council, which is basically, how do you enable a smart state? How do you enable the use of technology for better healthcare, for better education, for better transportation? And that's basically what is happening. For example, in Rockford, the mayor wants to build Rockford as a healthy platform. And that healthy platform also needs that backbone of fiber. And fortunately, ICN has a big presence, a major POP site near Rockford that we'll be able to put to use and start using Rockford as an example of how do you provide smart healthcare and build a city as a healthcare platform. So those are kind of the aggregators when you talk about the cities coming together, the hospital chains coming together, the school districts coming together to start using technology and infrastructure as an aggregator.
Thank you. Next question is from City Club member Carlos Ponce. Carlos, where are you? Right over here, table 10. Hardik, what would you recommend to the Trump transition team about technology? What should they do first?
So let me remind you that I have worked for a Democratic mayor, and I keep reminding this to the governor all the time, that I worked for a Democratic mayor, I am working for a Republican governor. Technology is nonpartisan. Technology is all about creating opportunities. Technology is all about improving customer service. Technology is all about improving efficiency of the organization that technology is enabling that. We've been in constant communication with Department of Commerce, NTIA, NIST, Department of Homeland Security. Kirk and his team are speaking with the Department of Homeland Security around what is the role of government in IoT security. What happened a couple of weeks ago with distributed denial of service attacks using rogue IoT devices, what is the role of government to start preventing those things? So we are in constant communication with them. I would say the federal government always has to play a proactive role as it comes to looking around the corner and see what kind of technology is coming, what's the private sector building. But at the same time, do not start over-regulating that, because let the entrepreneurs kind of build new stuff, and the standards will come slightly later, and then we'll be able to build to that. One of the discussions that I had with NTIA and with the Department of Commerce is we still are very under-invested as it comes to infrastructure, technology infrastructure. So if the focus is on infrastructure, brick and mortar is good, but let's start thinking about technology infrastructure, because as a society, as a country, we need to start really moving forward at an aggressive pace and an accelerated pace, and technology infrastructure is going to be crucial for that.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bianca Utshoff with the Netherlands Consulate. Bianca, where are you?
In the back.
Way in the back. Okay. How will you work on helping startups grow and strengthening the startup ecosystem in Chicago and throughout Illinois?
Sure. So those of you that know, all of you know 1871, right? How many of you know that seed funding for 1871 came from the state of Illinois, not from the city of Chicago? There you go. Only a few people know that. 1871 seed funding did not come from the city of Chicago. It came from the state of Illinois because we have that kind of seed funding availability that we can put in the incubators, University of Illinois Enterprise Works. There are 200 incubators operating in the state of Illinois right now. I also visited one on the 63rd Street that Bruce Montgomery runs. I don't know if Bruce is here, but that's one thing that Department of Commerce is doing phenomenally well, and IFA, I'm sure, has a key role to play in there. The other thing that we are also doing is hosting entrepreneur showcases. So how do you create opportunities for entrepreneurs? You have to connect them with the corporate. We are so blessed with a phenomenal corporate base that we have here. All of the various verticals, we have major players in Illinois, and we are, by Entrepreneur Showcase, we are bringing entrepreneurs who are building new businesses and introducing them and giving them a platform to present to large CIOs, CISOs, and chief data officers so that we can start making connections. We already have had a few Entrepreneur Showcases taken place at 1871 within the state government, and we'll do many more of those so we can create opportunities for entrepreneurs. We also did an agreement with the state of Telangana in India, where we are trying to see how can we open international markets in smart cities for our entrepreneurs. And we'll do many more of those agreements, obviously led by the Department of Commerce and supported by the Department of Innovation and Technology.
Were you referring to what we think is the October 16th letter between Illinois and Hyderabad in India? Is that
correct? That's Illinois and the state of Telangana. Hyderabad Great. Is the capital for that.
This is from Don Davis, who's with the Bronner Group. Don, where are you? Right over here. Is the state using drones?
We have a drone task force to figure out what can we do with drones. I mean, there are many applications, especially in the public safety area, that can really benefit from drones. And we are exploring options of what that is. But at this point, we are trying to understand the technology and the applications of that and the drone task force. On which we have our director of Illinois Emergency Management Agency, as well as the state police and a representative from the Department of Innovation and Technology. So we'll come back to you on that, maybe in the next presentation.
Okay, Don, keep that, okay? Hardik, this is from Chris Lathan, who's with MXO Tech. Where's Chris at? Back there. What's the greatest positive impact that you think Do It Illinois can have on educating our state's youth, specifically via public school systems?
Our states, I'm sorry, what was that?
Youths.
Youths, through that. So first of all, let me tell you, this is the most number of questions I've gotten in my 5 outings at City Club. So thank you very much. It must be very interesting.
This is City Club. We're always ready.
This is amazing. No, it is actually extremely important, right? I mean, if you think about this, over the last 100 years, technology progress, what it has done, it has created improved productivity immensely. But at the same time, it had also created jobs and has created income. But if you look at a graph, that there's a couple of studies that I've come across, in the last 10 to 15 years, the way the technology progress has happened, the technology has created immense amount of productivity, but for some reason, the jobs and income have not kept pace with that productivity, because what is happening is more and more tasks are getting automated. And that's what is going to happen. It's not going to slow down. It's actually going to go faster and faster. Technology, as you think about it, who knew that we will operate everything that we can from a small device in our hand? 10 years ago, that was unheard of. But today, we cannot think our lives without a smartphone. That's even going to accelerate in the next few years, so we have to get our youths ready for that. So STEM education, I know I'm not going to go too much detail into the education stuff because Beth Purvis, our Secretary of Education, leads that, and she is the right person to talk about that. But from technology perspective, we make it a point to go out to speak with the youth about where the technology is going. I constantly go to universities. We also try and go to STEM high schools and talk about what's happening. Chi-Tech Academy here on the south side of Chicago is also looking at providing education, technology certification as you're in the high school. It is extremely critical to understand the pace of change. It's not going to slow down. It's going to accelerate, and we need to get people ready, both the youth as well as the people that are going to start looking at their jobs changing significantly because of automation. That's coming, and that's coming faster than we can think.
Thank you. This is from Madeline Shepherd with the Metropolitan Planning Council. Madeline, where are you? Right straight ahead. You printed, but I can't read all the printing. That's okay. You spoke about government efficiency. Illinois has over 70,000 units of government.
7,000, I think.
She's, yeah. Oh, 7,000, yes. Different departments collect data on taxes paid, government budgets, etc. But the publicly available databases are still not available as she would like them. Do you have plans to integrate this and make it more easily accessible to the public?
Yes. Open data, most probably you're talking about asking that question. And Kevin Harrison's here. Kevin, can you raise your hand? There you go. Kevin Harrison's our assistant chief data officer. You should grab him before he leaves from here. He's going to drive back to Springfield. But we have open data. I'm not proud of the progress that we have made in open data because we have so many other things that we had to fix, the basic fundamentals. We do have an RFP, Kevin, is that correct? The RFP is published already?
Yes.
Okay. So RFP, so we have an existing vendor contract that's coming to an end, and we have an RFP in the market to bring another vendor under contract that can take the open data from where it is to take it further. The data sharing agreements that we have in place will help us get that data out and published in a usable way. We're also working on, the data sharing agreement that we created, we call it EMU, the Enterprise MOU for data sharing. We are now working on a REMU, which is Research Enterprise Data Sharing. So we are working on building a kind of a standard data sharing agreement with external entities, universities and others, that it's making it much more easier for them to sign one agreement with the state and easily get the data that they want from the state. So we are working on that. Thank you.
I think we have time for a couple more questions. This is from James Harmoning. James, where are you? Way back there. Great. How are you working with the elected officials' IT departments? What are some of the challenges and the successes you've had?
Sure. And Simona here can tell you, Cook County has most of the organizations are different elected officials. And in our case, we have very few. So we have the governor, and then we have a few other elected officials. So I already told you about ERP. We are working with the comptroller's office, the treasurer's office, and the governor's executive branch. We are all going to be on the same single instance of ERP. In terms of other aspects, we closely coordinate with the Secretary of State's office because when it comes to driver's license and all the other kinds of licensing, as a customer, you don't want to go to 50 different locations and give your data to get some kind of a license. We are trying to create a unified customer profile. And that's where we interact with the Secretary of State's office. We were part of the electronic driver's license task force that was created by the legislature, and the Secretary of State kind of led that. Mike Wants was part of that task force. Also, cybersecurity is a key issue, and we are actually doing a comprehensive cybersecurity assessment for all of the executive branch that's mandatory for everybody under the governor, and then we have also extended that to all of the elected offices that our team would come in and do a pro bono, right? Kirk? Yes, there you go. Kirk says yes. So we are going to do we have offered doing a pro bono security assessment of their entire system, all the systems, and identify vulnerabilities that we can then ask them to fix as soon as we can. Because at the end of the day, regardless of the elected office, it is my data that is sitting in that office as a taxpayer. So I want to make sure we want to make sure that our data is secure in all of those systems. And so we are partnering with each of them, all of them, and offering every assistance that they that we can to help them kind of, again, build the right technology for us.
Okay, and one final question. Sandra Gates, where are you? Sandra is with the Shades of Beauty. This is a great question. What are people concerned about, but no one says?
That's a great question. How, if nobody says, how will I hear? Cybersecurity was definitely, I mean, everybody talks about it. So if I go back to answering one of the other questions about what are we doing to connect with students, I think people understand that the tsunami of automation is coming. I mean, it's basically artificial intelligence, cognitive computing, virtual reality, augmented reality, automated vehicles. I mean, think about this, right? You had the bank tellers 20 years ago, and we have very few bank tellers now. The jobs in the banking industry are completely different compared to what they were 20 years ago. Tremendous automation. With the automated vehicles coming in, think about the jobs that are dependent on driving a car, delivery of taxi driving. We are talking about auto body shops. We are talking about insurance industries. All of these things are going to fundamentally change in the next 20 to 30 years. Those jobs that are existing today, those businesses that exist today, are going to be completely different. We need to start thinking about how do we prepare for that? How do we create a future-ready Illinois? How do we take this as an opportunity, not as a threat? How do we take this as an opportunity to create an environment in Illinois, where Illinois actually becomes the number one state in this automated straight world that we are going to be in 20 years from now? Not a lot of people are talking about this, but we need to start getting ready for that reality that's going to hit us before we know it.
Thank you. Hardik, once again, let's give him a big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.